title of our message is Fan Into Flame the Gift. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus, by the will of God, according to the promise of the life that is in Christ Jesus. To Timothy, my beloved child, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord. I thank God, whom I serve, as did my ancestors, with a clear conscience, as I remember you constantly in my prayers night and day. As I remember your tears, I long to see you, that I may be filled with joy. I am reminded of your sincere faith, a faith that dwelt first in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, and now, I am sure, dwells in you as well. For this reason, I remind you to fan into flame the gift of God, which is in you through the laying on of my hands. For God gave us a spirit not of fear, but of power and love and self-control. Therefore, do not be ashamed of the testimony about our Lord, nor of me, his prisoner, but share in suffering for the gospel by the power of God, who saved us and called us to a holy calling, not because of our works, but because of his own purpose and grace, which he gave us in Christ Jesus before the ages began, and which now has been manifested through the appearing of our Savior Christ Jesus, who abolished death and brought life and immortality to light through the gospel, for which I was appointed a preacher, an apostle, and teacher, which is why I suffer as I do. But I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed, and I am convinced that he is able to guard until that day what has been entrusted to me. Follow the pattern of the sound words that you have heard from me, and the faith and love that are in Christ Jesus. By the Holy Spirit who dwells within us, guard the good deposit entrusted to you. The word of the Lord.
And we'll see if this works. You want to go ahead and hit that first line there. So, man, it's a big weekend, isn't it? Goodness gracious. Oktoberfest. And, of course, last night was a homecoming up at the high school. The Battle of Billy's got a big win, so that was fun. And, of course, beautiful, beautiful weather. And the church picnic tomorrow. And just so much to be thankful for, so much to rejoice in. This evening, and it certainly is a weekend for us to praise God for faith, family, and God's grace. And again, the message this evening is fan into flame the gift, the gift, the gift. And out at St. Paul, I always like to start off with something a little funny. And so kids say the darndest thing, right? Kids always say the darndest things. And as I mentioned at the beginning of service, I do confirmation here, and we're actually studying the Ten Commandments this semester. And there was a Sunday school teacher. How many of y'all have taught Sunday school before, right? Yeah. Well, you know, especially when it comes to little kids, kids say the darndest things. And so this teacher was teaching her second graders, and they're talking about the Ten Commandments, and they were getting to the last commandments. And so she asked her class, she's like, okay, what's the last commandment? You know, we were talking about the coveting commandments. And she's like, all right, what's the very last one? A little girl's like, ooh, 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 I know. Thou shalt not take the covers off thy neighbor's wife. Yes, kids say the darndest things, but you know what? The faith of a child is, of course, what Christ points to whenever he says, you know what? The kingdom of God belongs to such as these. And so this evening we want to do three things. We want to celebrate our partnership in the gospel. We heard about that in our reading this evening. We want to celebrate that partnership and the good news of Jesus Christ. We want to stoke the fire, As I was talking about during the children's message, stoke the fire by the Spirit's power and burn bright. Burn bright with Jesus' light. And I can't help but think of Philippians chapter 1, verses 3 to 6. This is a Bible passage that I go to again and again and again when I think about the partnership that we share. Because Paul, man, is so powerful. Because if you know anything about the epistle of Philippians, he's actually under house arrest, okay? So he's in confinement, and yet this is the epistle known as the epistle of joy. And it's the epistle where we hear those words, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. And so talk about putting some things in perspective. Well, at the outset of Philippians chapter 1, verses 3 to 6, he writes these words to those believers in Philippi. He says, I thank my God every time I remember you. In all my prayers for all of you, I always pray with joy. There's that word, right? And I'm always praying with joy because of our partnership. Our partnership in the gospel from the first day until now. Being confident of this, that he, God, who began this good work in you, will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus our Lord. And so, yeah, we are talking about this incredible partnership, this beautiful partnership that we share. And, of course, that applies to each individual church as we have all the different people that are playing a part in all the different roles and all the different jobs. And, oh, my goodness, God blesses us so mightily with all the gifts of the Holy Spirit that manifest themselves in the different people coming together. And then, of course, on a weekend like this, when we have our sister congregations coming together, man, then it takes on a whole other level of meaning, as well as we talk about celebrating this partnership in the Holy Ghost and St. Paul Cave Creek and St. Peter Dawes. And so just celebrating, again, that partnership. It's a powerful, dynamic duo. And so just to think about that, I kind of have these images in my mind of some iconic duos, okay, some partners that are especially famous, perhaps. And so, yeah, we got Abbott and Costello, okay? That's going way, 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 way back, right? Or how about the next one, Lucy and Ricky Ricardo from the I Love Lucy show. I think we did a skit series way back when on that one, yeah, back in the day. How about another one? This one's an infamous couple, yeah, Bonnie and Clyde. Talk about a partnership, Mercy, Mercy, Mercy. Romeo and Juliet, everyone knows Romeo and Juliet, talk about partners. Then how about some sci-fi ones? You got Han Solo and Chewbacca. You got R2-D2 and C-3PO. How about, of course, Captain Kirk and Mr. Spock? Oh, how about some kid ones? Since we've been starting off talking about some kids, how about Bert and Ernie? Everybody loves Bert and Ernie, right? That partnership, absolutely. Or how about Woody and Buzz Lightyear from Toy Story? That's a great one. Now, this one is super, super, super contemporary. In fact, you may not have heard of this one, but here recently, all the buzz is about Taylor Swift, right? Taylor Swift and Travis Kelce of the Kansas City Chiefs. It just seems like that's what everybody wants to talk about. Okay, whatever, okay. Iconic duos. But probably the one that kind of defined dynamic duo would be who, right? That Batman and Robin, right? I mean, talk about two partners in a mission. And when times got tough and, you know, dark, dark, dark times, they'd shine that light up. And, of course, here comes Batman and Robin to the rescue. But perhaps my favorite, Lord forgive me, where can you go? Anyway, so my favorite one, and since we've got pictures here, how about David Opaprim and Bobby Omavitek? Yes. Talk about a partner. That's going way back. Oh, my goodness. Goodness, goodness, goodness. I love it. Well, for us tonight, we're going to think about two different partnerships, okay? We're going to think about Paul and Timothy, okay? And that's where our reading came from this evening, Paul and Timothy. Paul is writing to Timothy. And then we're also going to take a look at a partnership between two guys in the Old Testament, Elijah and Elisha, okay? Two extremely important prophets of God from the Old Testament. But first of all, Paul and Timothy, let's think about this partnership. Because, oh, they were all about, man, sharing the good news of Jesus Christ. That was at the heart of their work. And pretty much everyone, well, if you attend church on a regular basis, you definitely know about Paul, right? I mean, St. Paul, greatest missionary of all time. He changed the ancient world. Of course, he was persecuting the people of God, but then Jesus got a hold of him, right? And then converted him and changed his heart and changed his life. And so then he started going out on these mission trips. And so, but what about Timothy? What do we know about Timothy? Well, again, this letter that we just heard about this evening for our reading, this 2 Timothy, I mean, Timothy is an extremely, extremely important person. And in fact, let's take a look at that first one. So this is just a picture of the first missionary journey or trip, and I know you can't see it, but there's a little dot on that map that identifies a town called Lystra, and that's where Timothy was from, Lystra. And so Paul goes through that town, and he did what he always did. He preached the gospel. And so Timothy's parents, actually his dad was a Gentile, so he wasn't a believer, but his mom was a Jew. She was Jewish. She was a practicing Jew. And then she heard Paul's preaching, and she became a believer in Jesus. And not only that, but who else was a believer? Timothy's grandmother. We heard about that as well. And so it was Lois and Eunice that became believers. And so Paul keeps moving on, as he always did. He preached in that town of Lystra, and he kept moving. Well, guess what? He goes back there on his second missionary trip. And so the second missionary trip, it expands. Very often he would go back and revisit the towns that he had been to before, but then he went even further. Well, guess what? When he went to Lystra this time, he said, "Timothy, I want you to come with me." And he did. And he went with him, and he became, man, a lifelong partner in the gospel with Paul. In fact, throughout the New Testament, it's about a period of 15 to 20 years where Paul and Timothy are working together. And so Paul has this special relationship with Timothy, and he describes him as his child. He describes him as his son. He describes him as his co-worker and as his brother. That's how close they were and how sacred this partnership in the gospel was. And it was something to be celebrated. And not only that, Timothy is identified as the co-author of so many of Paul's epistles. I mean, 2 Corinthians and Philippians and Colossians and 1 and 2 Thessalonians and Philemon. I mean, all these letters, you know, identify Timothy as being essential for the writing of them or scribing of them. And so he is there every step of the way. And then when Paul needed to send someone to minister to the churches, when Paul couldn't go there himself, he would send Timothy. And so Timothy went to, for example, Corinth and Thessalonica and Philippi in Ephesus. Well, this brings us to our reading, okay? And again, Lisa read this tonight, and we want to just let these words soak in again. So, chapter 1, verse 3, "I thank God whom I serve, as did my ancestors, with a clear conscience, as I remember you, Timothy, constantly in my prayers, night and day." Now, let's stop right there. I mentioned with Philippians, he was under house arrest. Well, this is a different time in his life. But guess what? He's really under arrest now. This is at the end of his life. This is his last will and testament. He is in prison in Rome, and he feels very strongly that he's not going to make it out alive. And so he writes this letter to Timothy, and he is trying to do a couple of things. He wants to encourage Timothy because everybody else has been falling away from the faith. So he wants to encourage him. He also wants to challenge him to step up. And, you know, really encouraging him to, you know what, you're going to have to take the mantle on, Timothy, because I don't know how much longer I'm going to be around here. So again, he was encouraging him and celebrating that partnership, but he was also challenging him. So here's where we get the challenge. "I'm reminded of your sincere faith, a faith that dwelt first in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, and now I'm sure dwells in you as well. So for this reason, I remind you to fan into flame the gift of God, which is in you through the laying on of my hands. For God gave us not a spirit of fear or timidity, but again, of power, of love, and of self-discipline." So yeah, this evening we are praising God for our legacy of faith. Because, I mean, yeah, we heard that. Yeah, the first was with Lois, and you can go to the next slide, with Lois and with Eunice. And there was this incredible partnership between Paul and Timothy, and we praise God, don't we, for our omas and our opas and our great omas and our great opas that pass on that faith to us, and we recognize that ultimately this is all a gift of the Holy Spirit. It's a gift of the Holy Spirit. So we praise God for the Holy Spirit. This is the Spirit of God that creates that faith in us. In fact, it was Martin Luther. Okay, when you have the third article of the Apostles' Creed, it's starting off with, I believe in the Holy Spirit. Well, what did Luther have to say about that? He said, I believe that by my own reason and strength, I cannot believe in Jesus Christ my Lord or come to him, but the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit has called me to the gospel and enlightened me with his gifts and sanctified and preserved me in the true faith. So this is, it's a work of the Holy Spirit that we rejoice in. And so we celebrate that partnership, and then we want to stoke that fire with the Spirit's fire. And just that illustration with the kids, that the Spirit does that in this unique way. And if you go to that next slide, there's that power, love, and self-discipline. Those are the three Greek words up there, that dunamis power. That's the word for dynamite. Dynamite. If you got dynamite power when you got the Holy Spirit in your heart, in your life, then you got the agape love. Okay, that's that divine sacrificial love, that love of commitment that says, I'm going to be there for you no matter what. That is God's divine love for us. And then that sophron, that's such an interesting word, that self-discipline or self, it's kind of talking about self-regulating. The root there is the word for your diaphragm. Yeah, isn't that interesting that it's kind of controlling that breathing that's going on in your life? And what a powerful image for us when we're thinking about the Holy Spirit and how it regulates things in our life. Well, then to illustrate the power of the Holy Spirit, let's turn to that next duo, that next partnership, Elijah and Elisha. Because these two great prophets of God, man, they did extraordinary things in the Old Testament. And Elisha, they actually worked together for 6 years. They had this special partnership, and you can read about this in 1 Kings chapter 19. But at the end of Elisha's life, when he is translated up into heaven with the chariots of fire, before that happened, you remember what Elisha asked for? He asked for a double measure of his spirit. That was the request of Elisha before Elijah left. He's like, I want a double dose of that gift of the Holy Spirit. And God granted that to him. And how do we know that? Well, when we look at the scriptures, it's interesting because there's 8 miracles recorded concerning Elijah. There's 16 miracles recorded according to Elisha. So the Spirit was given to him in abundance. And again, they shared in this partnership together. And just as an aside, this is I really love Elisha. And it's kind of interesting because Elisha must have been bald. Okay, you know the story? Elisha must have been bald because in 2 Kings chapter 2, if I can go ahead and advance to the next slide, if you know the story, man, oh man, there was a gang of youth. There was a gang of youth that were mocking Elisha because he was bald. So seriously, you can look this up, okay? They're mocking him because he's bald. And they say, get out of here, baldy, get out of here, baldy. And Elisha, you really shouldn't do that when it comes to a prophet of God, right? No, that's not a good idea. And so, yeah, Elisha, you issued a judgment against that gang of youth. And 2 bears came out, and guess what? They took care of that gang of youth. And so, man, I think the lesson of the story there is respect your elders or be eaten by bears. Yeah, that's kind of crazy. But the next story is even more important. This is the one I really want us to take to heart. This is the one about the Holy Spirit in 2 Kings chapter 5. It's the story of Naaman. Are you all familiar with the story of Naaman? It's one of those stories that, well, it's so rich when you take it to heart. And so just to kind of put it in a nutshell, basically Naaman, it's 2 A's there, he was a great commander, a great general, a powerful, powerful man in the Syrian army. Now the Syrians and the Israelites, obviously they didn't get along. They were always at odds with each other. They were always in conflict, very often in war. At any rate, so he is a Syrian. So he's a Gentile. He's outside of the people of God. But it says that he had the favor of God because he kept getting problem with Naaman, he had leprosy. So boy, talk about putting everything in perspective. That was almost a death sentence back then. And so he's desperate. He didn't know what to do. But as the story unfolds before our eyes in 2 Kings chapter 5, it says that there's this little girl in his household, a little servant girl that was actually an Israelite. And she had been captured by the Syrians when they had gone on a raid, and they had brought her back, and now she's having to serve in Naaman's household. Now, you would think that that little girl, bless her heart, would have just been crushed and broken and disheartened or hardened or just bitter or whatever. Apparently, she still wanted to serve and to help and to make things better, because she was worried about Naaman and his leprosy. And she said, you know what? He needs to go see this great prophet of God in Israel, Elisha. Go see Elisha, and he can heal you. Well, sure enough, he's desperate, so he goes, and he brings all this gold and silver and clothes, and he goes to Elisha's house. Elisha doesn't even go to the door, though. He sends out his servant, and he tells Naaman, you know what, Naaman, you just need to go wash 7 times in the Jordan River, and then you will be cleansed. Well, what does Naaman do? This is an important, powerful man. He's like, what, are you kidding me? That's so beneath me. We've got great rivers back from where I'm from. I'm not going to go do that. So he gets all mad and irate, and he leaves. And his servants are like, wait a minute. Come on, do what the guy says, and at least try it. So what does he do? He humbles himself. He goes and he washes in the Jordan River, and Naaman is healed. Because again, he humbled himself, and he had that then childlike faith to believe and to trust. And again, that is a gift of the Holy Spirit, and that's what changes us and transforms us. And so when it comes to that childlike faith, it's so amazing, because in that account, so it started off with that little girl. The little girl was powerless, you know, weak, in the eyes of the world, had nothing, and yet maybe she had everything because she had faith. And the text even tells us, on to that next slide, that at the very end, when Naaman is healed, it talks about how his flesh became like that of a child. And it's the same word describing the girl at the beginning of the story. That great man becomes like the child, pointing us to this gift of the Holy Spirit that creates this childlike faith in us. And that's what sets us on fire, my friends. That's what keeps us going when we hold on to that kind of faith. In fact, Jesus, of course, when he comes onto the scene, he says in John chapter 3, verse 5, very truly I tell you, no one can enter the kingdom of God unless they do what? Unless they are born of water and the Spirit. And then Jesus says, you know what? In John chapter 7, it says, anybody who's thirsty, come to me and drink. And then he who believes in me, as the scriptures have said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water. And John very specifically in the next verse identifies what that is. He tells us. He doesn't leave that up to a question. He says, you know what? That's the Holy Spirit. And so we're not talking about just getting a double dose of the Holy Ghost. We're talking about getting the Spirit without measure, without end, that we always have the Spirit in our lives flowing to change us. And then this helps us to do the mission of Jesus. You know what? Jesus, when he started his mission, he pointed to Naaman. You realize in Luke chapter 4, it's the account where he gets rejected in his hometown, okay? He gets up to the synagogue, he reads the scroll of Isaiah 61 that says, the Spirit of the Lord is on me because he's anointed me to preach good news to the poor. He sent me to proclaim liberty to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to release the oppressed, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. And then he handed him the scroll, and then he sat down. And what did he say? Today, this has been fulfilled. All heck broke loose at that point, right? They rejected him. They were going to drive him out of the town. And in response then, if you look at that next slide, yeah, he actually points to Elijah and Elisha. And he points how Elijah and Elisha went to the Gentiles. And he said, look, there are lots of lepers in Israel, but
But who did God heal? It was Naaman. And so this was at the heart of Jesus' mission. And so this is what we celebrate this week. We celebrate our partnership in the gospel, God's mission together. We pray that God would stoke that fire in us by the Spirit's power, that we would then burn bright with Jesus' light as we proclaim the year of the Lord's salvation. And, you know, it's that childlike faith again, right? I mean, it's this little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. And when you think about that, how can you not think about baptism, right? When you think about baptism, we give baptismal candles, and then we share those words of Jesus, let your light so shine before others that they see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven. Then Acts chapter 1, verse 8 says, and you will receive power. Power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in all Judea and Samaria, and even to the ends of the earth. That's what we do. Our mission is to be and make disciples in Jesus' name. And tomorrow we're actually going to do, it's a cowboy service. And so the offering song is going to be On the Wings of a Snow White Dove. All right, On the Wings of a Snow White Dove, right? Yeah, that's how he sends his love.